Tonight, Mr. Michael Redgrave stars in Uncle Harry from Studio One at CBS.
Sooner or later, something's bound to happen, Letty. People who are forced to live together against their will are sure to hate each other. And there's bound to be trouble.
We invite you to Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great stories, novels, and plays in special versions for listening. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, a visit to a little English town of nearly 40 years ago, and the story of one of its citizens, a man who was known as Uncle Harry, a man who was not as ordinary nor as pleasant as he appeared to be. The portrait of Uncle Harry is created by Thomas Jobe and exhibited with such remarkable success on the stages of London and Broadway. He's in a mood of quiet terror and polite violence, and it isn't easily forgotten. Tonight, to perform for you the title role, which he originated in its London production, we're fortunate to have with us Mr. Michael Redgrave, who is currently dividing his exciting performances between the Broadway stage, the motion picture studios of England and America, and happily enough, our own Studio One. And with Mr. Redgrave in tonight's cast, we have with us one of Broadway's most singularly talented actresses, an actress considerably experienced with the kind of sinister evening just ahead of us, having been, among other triumphs, the star of the memorable stage success Angel Street, Miss Judith Evelyn. You'll be hearing Miss Evelyn as Letty, Uncle Harry's sister, with Brenda Forbes as Hester and Gertrude Warner as Lucy. Please to begin.
We should do this more often, Lucy. Get out for a walk in the afternoon. I was surprised when you suggested it.
Harry, I'm beginning to think you'll always be surprised at things I do and say.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't suppose you've ever done an impulsive thing in all your life.
Of course I have, many times.
Just name one.
Well...
You see? You can't.
Shall we sit here on this bench?
Very well. But you're hoping when we sit down, I'll change the subject.
Oh, please, Lucy, don't let's talk about me. Let's talk about us.
But that's the same thing. Harry, have you told them yet?
Letty and Hester, about our getting married.
You've been saying for weeks that you'd do it. The first opportunity you found.
Well, I just haven't found it yet. Sometimes I have a feeling that they know, Letty and Hester, that they're doing everything to prevent me from telling them.
But when are you going to tell them, Harry? When? We've been going together for so long now.
Oh, it's difficult, Lucy, because I realize how this will change my sisters' lives. They're so dependent on me, you know.
I'm beginning to wonder, Harry, if it isn't you who's dependent on them.
Well, of course I am, in a way. They're all the family I've got. Ever since I can remember, it was the three of us, Letty and Hester and me, and even before our parents died. We've always been so very close.
But if we're ever going to get married... You've got to break away from them.
Oh, I will.
I wonder.
Well, what do you mean by that? Do you have any idea that I won't?
I don't know what you're going to do, Harry. And I don't know how much longer I can wait.
Lucy, you don't mean that. You can't.
Oh, I don't know what I mean.
Well, I'd hate my sisters if they came between us.
You never hated anybody. Not Uncle Harry.
Lucy. You just call me Uncle Harry.
Well, everyone else in town does.
Yes, but not you. Not you.
Well, it's a term of affection, isn't it?
It's an insult, that's what it is. That's what they call me down at the Bluebell Tavern. It's their way of saying I'm too meek and too mild. It's a term of disrespect, that's what it is, even from them.
But I didn't mean...
It's their way of making fun of me to my face, Uncle Harry. They're saying that I'm timid, that I've no backbone. Is that what you're saying, Lucy?
I'm only saying that you've got to tell your sisters about us. You've got to, Harry.
I'll tell them. Only, you've got to promise never to call me that name again.
I hope there'll never be another occasion when I'll want to call you that.
I promise you'll never call me Uncle Harry again.
I promise.
Is that you, Harry?
It's me, Hester.
About time. How long do you suppose dinner can be kept waiting without spoiling?
Never you mind her, Harry. Just take your time.
It's all right, Letty.
Hester's just being nasty again. The dinner won't be ready for 20 minutes.
It would have been if you hadn't insisted on baking that gooseberry pie.
Harry likes gooseberry pie, don't you, Harry?
Very much, especially yours, Letty.
Well, I'd already fixed a coconut cake.
Gooseberry pie is better after roast lamb.
It's a waste having two desserts.
Now, Hester, you know your coconut cake is never a waste.
Oh, thank you, Harry.
Well, how did you two pass the day?
As usual, nothing ever happens.
Did you have a pleasant afternoon?
Very. I walked to the top of Richmond Hill.
Really? All alone?
Yes.
Lucy never did show up at the social committee meeting this afternoon.
That's only to be expected. You should know. You can never depend on Lucy.
Oh, I know that, but there are some people who don't...
Can't you two let Lucy alone?
Why, Harry?
You both know what I think of Lucy. I mean, that she's a good friend of mine. I mean, you know I don't approve of people speaking badly of another person's character.
I know, dear. Hester, I don't know why you always say things to upset Harry.
I say things. Why, it was you.
You know perfectly well how Harry feels about listening to gossip.
Now, look here, Letty. You can't get away
with it.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I really would appreciate a little peace and quiet tonight.
Of course, Harry, dear. I'm sure Hester is very sorry about upsetting you. Aren't you, Hester?
Letty, I will not let
and
you.
Nevertheless, I must admit that Hester has one very good reason for criticizing Lucy.
And what is that?
Why, the way the girl fawns on you in public, Harry, dear.
It's a real disgrace.
Oh, I'm sure you're both mistaken.
Oh, no, we're not. You're just too good-natured to notice it, but you shouldn't allow it, Harry.
Indeed, you should not. It gives the wrong impression. Why, only yesterday, Mrs. Watson asked me when you and Lucy would be saying, I do.
Well, I hope you stopped that rumor.
Of course I did.
It wouldn't surprise me one little bit, Harry, if Lucy were telling people that you've actually asked her to marry you.
What harm would there be if she were?
What harm? You certainly don't want people getting the wrong idea, do you, Harry? Do you, Harry?
No, of course not. But I'm very fond of Lucy.
Fiddlesticks. She's a very ordinary girl.
No, Hester, she isn't.
Oh, Harry, you just think the best of everyone.
Well, it's a little more than that in this case.
And what does that mean?
Well, nothing. Nothing.
You'd best be careful, Harry. Women like Lucy can corner a man before he knows it.
When you're through.
Oh, Nona.
If you're done scratching it, Miss Lucy, you can come to dinner.
Now, Nona, don't you start things all over again.
Sorry, Mr. Harry, but that kind of talk gets on my nerves and sets my tongue to snapping. I'm no saint like you. Can I put the soup on?
Yes, please, Nona.
Well, don't blame me if it gets cold now.
Really, someone should put that woman in her proper place.
Well, after 20 years.
Some of these days, I'll give her notice.
You'll do no such thing.
I will if I want to.
When my mother died, she said, Hester, you see to it that Nona never leaves my little family, and I will see to it.
Your mother? Now, I suppose she wasn't my mother, too.
Ladies, please.
Oh.
Shall we dine?
Oh, Harry, you're so sweet.
Really, Harry, I wouldn't stay in this house another day if it weren't my duty to care for you.
Was a mighty fine gooseberry pie.
Did you really like it?
Mm.
I'm sure I don't know why Hester wouldn't let you have a second piece.
Oh, that's just the way she is. Where did she go, by the way?
Well, she's still in the kitchen,
you know,
I
Letty, I don't believe that Hester understands me the way you do.
Oh, I know she doesn't. You and I have always been different from her.
Yes. I suppose that's why she's always been jealous of you.
Of course it is.
You know, that's why I realized that you didn't mean what you said before dinner, that you really understood the way I felt and wanted to protect me from Hester.
Didn't mean what I said about what?
About Lucy.
Oh.
Letty, how'd you like to have Lucy for a sister?
Oh, really, Harry, how could Lucy ever be my sister?
Well, by marrying me, of course.
Well, that That would upset Hester.
Yes, wouldn't it? And think what a cozy little group we'd make, you and me and Lucy.
I'm sure Mother and Father wouldn't have approved at all. They were always so anxious to protect us from outside influences.
Of course, and that's just what I'm doing, too. I bring Lucy right into the family. You know, you and she would be really good friends.
I've never had need for friends, Harry. I've always poured my affections out on you.
Yes, I know you have, Letty.
Letty, it really is too bad of you to leave Nona and me with all those dishes. Why, Harry, you haven't changed your slippers and smoking jacket.
I'll go and get them.
You knew no such thing. I was the one who saw he didn't have them. I'll get them.
You got them last night. It's my turn.
Letty is right, Hester. Turn about is fair play.
Oh, very well.
I won't be a minute, Harry, dear.
Selfish. Just as selfish as she can be.
Ah, now, Hester, Letty can't help being the way she is.
She needn't act as though you belonged entirely to her.
She does try to boss me, doesn't she?
I wonder you don't stand up for her more.
You know, that was just what I was doing when you came in.
Really? What was she trying to do?
Oh, run my life for me?
Don't you let her, Harry.
You and I won't allow her to get away with it, will we?
Certainly not. Tell me about it.
Oh, well, she started on Lucy again. She got it into her head that I really wanted to marry Lucy.
No.
Yes, and she said I couldn't do it. I said I would if I wanted to.
But of course you don't want to.
Well, I don't know. I might. Think what fun it would be to spite Letty.
Yes, but Harry, you can't marry Lucy or anyone else.
Well, why not?
Because you know we only have money enough to carry us if we all live together. That's the way Father arranged it.
If I want to marry Lucy, I'll earn my own money.
Really, Harry? How?
Well, by working.
What work will you do?
Oh, anything at all.
Oh, who do you think's going to hire you to do anything? You've never done a day's work in your life. Who do you know who'd hire an experienced man of 34 years of age?
Oh, yes, I suppose you're quite right, Hester.
Harry, I think it would be best for everyone if you don't ever see Lucy again. You hear?
I hear.
Lucy, it's been a long day and night since we've seen you around here.
6 months and 2 days, to be exact, Nona. Anyone home?
Mr. Harry's out walking the dog.
How is poor, weary Willie?
Getting older and older.
Who are you talking to out there, Nona?
Oh, this'll hand him a shock.
It's Miss Lucy.
Yes, I've come to tell you something, Hester. May I come in?
Of course. Come along.
Hello, Hester. Letty?
How are you, Lucy?
Very well, thank you. I only stopped for a moment. I have something to tell you.
Oh, really?
What is it? I'm engaged.
How's
Don't
that?
What? I'm engaged. You know, I'm going to be married.
Well, Lucy, you're a mighty lucky girl.
Yes, aren't I?
Imagine what a surprise this will be to Harry.
A pleasant one.
Oh, there's Harry now. That's his signal when he's forgotten his keys.
How quaint.
Just a moment, Harry. I'm coming.
I wonder what he'll say.
What would he say?
That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, that dog. He's filthy.
It's not really Willie's fault if the streets are muddy.
Oh, give him to me. I'll take him out into the kitchen.
Harry, come in here. We have a visitor.
Oh, have we? Who is it?
Come in and see. It's a surprise.
Surprise, eh? You've got me quite excited. Lucy.
Hello, Harry.
Lucy's visit isn't her only surprise. She has news.
Yes, and I don't know why you insist on holding on to that dog. He's so old, life's a burden to
him. Don't you talk to me like that.
Well, he'd be better off out of the way.
Now, see here, Letty,
you don't mind, I'd like to hear Lucy's news.
Oh, that. Oh, it's nothing. It's just that she's engaged.
Yes, to be married. Isn't that nice?
Did you come here specially to tell me that, Lucy?
Well, I wanted you to know.
She knew how interested we'd be.
Hester, will you and Letty leave the room, please?
What?
I want you to leave the room.
Well, Harry, you're being needlessly rude.
Leave the room.
Oh, very well. Come, Hester.
And close the door.
We won't listen, never.
Close the door, please.
Oh.
Did you come to gloat, Lucy?
No, Harry. Only to clear the air.
It didn't take you long.
No, it didn't. Once you stopped seeing me and the first pain was over, I realized what a narrow escape I'd had.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I mean. What chance for happiness did we have? I was a fool to think it was possible, knowing what Hester and Letty are really like.
Is that why you're doing this thing?
What thing?
Well, marrying a man you don't love.
I do love him.
I know you don't, Lucy.
And just how do you know that, Grace?
Because I know you. And I remember.
What do you remember?
Everything. Look, if it weren't for Hester and Letty, would you come back to me?
Oh, Harry, stop torturing yourself. Hester and Letty are eternal.
Oh, you think so?
I know so.
When does it happen?
The wedding? In about a month. I won't be seeing you again, Harry. I do hope things straighten out for you.
I think they will, Lucy. I'm happy you came today. It makes me quite certain that things will straighten out soon. Very soon.
You handle that platter, Nona.
I'm minding.
As I was saying, Letty, how I managed to keep hold of myself while that young hussy was here this afternoon, I'll never know.
Miss Lucy is no hussy.
Well, she certainly acted like one.
Growing over, Harry, why the poor dear turned white.
He did no such thing.
He certainly didn't eat much dinner.
But that's because he doesn't like beef stew. I told you that, Hester.
It wasn't the beef stew. He's upset.
He'd forget it in a minute if you let him. It's a miracle poor Harry doesn't go mad with you pestering him all the time.
Pestering? No, I'm pestering
him. You always have. Ever since we were children. Sometimes I think one of us would be all that Harry needs to look after him.
You, I suppose.
Why not?
Why not? I'll tell you why not.
Now, now, what's all that rumpus about?
There, you did it again.
Letty, some of these days I'm just not going to be able to endure
well,
your...
Well. What's all the trouble now?
Ask Letty.
Ask Hester.
Well, I'm asking both of you.
Harry, do you want me to leave this house?
Why should you?
Letty says I'm not wanted. She says one of us is enough to take care of you.
Letty, did you say that?
Well, I...
Mr. Harry, she did. I heard her.
Really, Letty, that's not nice of you.
Now you're angry with me.
Yes, I am. Very, very angry.
You did this, Hester. You did it.
Take your hands off me, Letty.
You got Harry angry with me. He said so. I'll shake you for that until you're both...
I warn you, Letty. Let go.
I won't. I'll teach you to make Harry angry with
and
me.
And I'll teach you to lay your hands off me.
Oh! Oh, you demon! You struck me!
You provoked me!
Oh, Harry!
Harry, I'll have to ask you to choose between us. Someone must leave this house. I'll be in my room until you make your choice.
Oh, no one can say this house lacks for entertainment.
Oh, I hate her.
Nona, go up and see if you can calm Miss Hester.
All right, but you've got more patience than anyone I know.
Well, Letty, you seem to be in the mood for getting rid of everyone today. First poor, weary Willie, and now Hester.
I wish Hester would take her stupid dog and never come back.
You know, I've been thinking about what you said about Willie this afternoon. You're probably right.
About what?
About putting him out of the way. He's so old.
It would be for the best... And it would make Hester so furious.
Yes, we'd have to keep it from Hester.
When will we do it?
Sooner the better. Tonight, perhaps.
But how?
Well, poison's the best way. Hydroanic acid, I think.
Will it hurt?
Oh, not for long.
Terrible.
Well, I'd get the stuff myself, but I'm late for my appointment already.
What appointment?
Oh, you know, the usual thing. Playing piano for the boys at the Bluebell Tavern. Look. Why don't you take a walk and get it?
Can you buy it just like that?
Well, go to Ben's, the chemist. He'll let you have it. You'll have to sign for it, of course. Look, look, sign my name.
I'll go this very minute. If you'll wait until I get my hat and coat, I'll walk down with you.
Fear no more the heat of the sun or the furious winter's rages. Thou thy worldly task hast done. Home art gone and ta'en thy wages. golden lads and girls all must, like chimney sweepers, come to dust.
Well, Mr. Harry, who are you talking to?
Oh, I was just talking. Talking to myself, that's all. How's Hester?
How'd you suppose? You're really going to put one of them out, Mr. Harry?
No, of course not. We'll patch it up somehow.
You've got more goodness in you than a man should have, Mr. Harry. When are you going to rear up and stop being a little martyr?
When? Who knows? Maybe tonight? Yes, no, no. Maybe tonight. Give me a chance at Swanee.
Oh, no. No harmony, Blake.
Well, then I'll do it solo.
You chaps, you sound merry tonight. Oh, hello, Miss Phipps.
Good evening, Mr. Ben.
Hello, Ben.
What do you have?
The usual, please.
You're late, Ben.
You know how running a chemist shop is. Mrs. Watkins' youngest is down with measles.
You'd better tune up, Ben. Albert's pipes are rusty again.
Ah, Uncle Harry. Hello there, old Caesar Borgia. Hmm? Your sister Lucretia Borgia was in the shop tonight.
Ben, you're talking fancy again.
I don't quite follow you, Ben.
Trying to cover your tracks, are you? Sending your sister to get the poison. Oh, that's a good one.
Was it Letty?
It was. And she signed your name.
My name? What for?
The poison. You have to sign for poison.
Oh, well, what did she get?
Hydroanic acid.
Ooh, I suppose she wants it to clean clothes or something.
Oh, clean clothes. One whiff of that stuff and that's the last clothes she'll ever clean. And don't worry, Weary Willie won't suffer long.
My dog?
What's that?
Nothing. It's all right.
Are you sure?
Yes, yes, I'm quite sure. Look, if you boys will excuse me, I better run along. I haven't been feeling too well today. Look, Ben, you play for them, will you?
Oh, yeah. He's no substitute, Harry.
Well, look, good night, everyone.
Good night, Harry.
Ben, what was that stuff you said Letty got?
Hydroanic acid.
Well, it kills dogs.
Kills anything.
Oh. Well, good night.
That's all right.
You know, I shouldn't be surprised if Letty was planning to kill that dog without telling the poor chap. You should have seen her buying that poison. Sly as if she had murder up her sleeve. Yeah. But anyway, let's sing.
Right.
Capital ship, eh?
Blowing, blowing winds, hi-ho, a-roving I will go, I'll stay no more on England's shore.
Letty. Letty, you home yet?
In the living room. Singing break up early?
No. I got to worrying about Weary Willie.
You haven't changed your mind. I got the poison.
Hester hasn't come down?
No.
Well, we don't have to do it tonight. We can wait for a day or two.
All right. But what will I do with this poison? Ben says it's dangerous.
Oh, better hide it. Look, tell you what, put it in that jar with the matches. I'm the only one ever uses that. Look, you'd better write a warning on the label.
It has poison printed on it, large as life.
Oh, no one ever notices a printed warning. Look, here's a red pencil. Write danger or don't touch on it.
I write both. Danger. Don't touch.
Fine, now drop it in the jar. That does it. Nona still us.
Yes, I do wish she'd make up her mind about that Hubert Fuller. Engaged all these years.
Yes, I know how Hubert must feel.
There she is now.
Chilled. Oh, chilled to the bone.
Well, we all are. Look, what about some hot cocoa, huh?
Lovely. I'll make it for you, Harry.
Oh, you're very thoughtful, Letty.
I like to do things for you. You know that. Nona, you keep Harry company.
Very well.
It's good to be home on a night like this. Nothing like an easy chair and a pipe to put a man at peace. Nona, would you mind handing me a match from that jar on the shelf next to you? I'm too comfortable to move.
Of course.
Drag that jar, my hand gets caught in it every time. What's this? It's a little bottle. It says, danger, don't touch.
What on earth have you got there?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. It's a little bottle with Miss Letty's writing on it.
If it's Miss Letty's, we'll have to ask her what it is.
Harry, will you come upstairs, please?
Oh, how did Hester know I'd come home?
She's got the ears of a cat, that one.
Oh, I'd better go up and see what she wants, I suppose. Now, you put that bottle back where you found it.
I will. A minute. Don't touch. Danger. Anic acid. Whew. What's that, I wonder?
Here it is, steaming hot, Harry, dear. And I've brought a nice full jug of it. Oh. No, where is it?
She called him.
Now the cocoa will get cold. Nona, what's this bottle doing out here on the table?
I found it in the jar. What is this stuff anyway?
It's poison.
Poison? What do you want poison in the house for?
That's my business.
Oh, all right.
You must know we're going to put Willie out of the way.
You what?
Mr. Harry is going to do it.
Mr. Harry is going to do it?
That's what I said.
Well, there we are. Now she's quiet again.
Did you forget, dear, that I was preparing cocoa for you?
Not for a minute. Where is it?
There, on the table.
Oh, nice full jug. Letty. You know, I think Hester's sorry for the way she behaved tonight.
I should think she would be.
Don't tell me she wants to apologize.
I think she might, if she was given the chance.
Well, wonders never cease.
Letty, why don't you give her the chance?
I'm not stopping her.
No, you know she'd never come to you.
You don't expect me to go to her.
No, not obviously, but you might take her up a cup of cocoa.
No.
Now. Think what a good person it would make you. Wouldn't it, Nona?
I suppose. No, Harry, I won't.
Oh, very well, I'll take her a cup myself.
I'll take it.
I knew you'd think it over. You're really such a forgiving person. Isn't she, Nona?
If you say so.
I pour out a nice steaming cup for you to take up, huh?
No, I'll do it.
No. This is an occasion I want to prepare for myself. Now, you two ladies sit right where you are. Let the gentleman do the work.
Harry, for all your patching up our argument, I sometimes think that Hester and I will only be at peace in our graves.
Hester likes lots of sugar, doesn't she?
Yes.
I'll put enough in to make it nice and sweet.
Some of these days there'll be a quarrel you won't be able to patch up, Harry.
Oh, I don't really think so. Not after you make this generous gesture.
But there's nothing generous about it. I'm taking it because if I didn't, you would.
Now, Letty, you mustn't let the sun go down on your wrath. Here's the cocoa, nice and hot and sweet. Now, you take it up to Hester, Letty, and to seal the peace treaty.
I hope you're satisfied. Where's Nona?
She's gone up to her room. Did Hester drink the cocoa?
Not yet.
Why not?
Oh, she wants to finish the chapter she's reading.
Well, it'll get cold.
Well, she only has one more page to read. Oh, this is cozy and peaceful, Harry. Just the two of us. Shall we have our cocoa now?
I don't see why not. Shall I pour?
Would you? Oh, that's sweet of you. Harry.
Yes?
Hester didn't apologize at all. In fact, she was very condescending. Never do anything like that for her again.
You won't have to, Letty.
Oh, Harry. You mean you've decided to send Hester away?
In a manner of speaking, yes.
Then it'll be just you and I.
In a manner of speaking, yes.
I suppose I really should be sorry for Hester now. But she's always asked for this sort of treatment. She's never really tried to understand us.
Yeah. Understanding is very important, Letty.
Of course it is. Now, what's the good of working your fingers to the bone for someone if you don't understand that person?
Not that Hester ever works her fingers to the bone, but she always thinks she does. Poor Hester never knows how wonderful it is to be together. Like us.
Yes, isn't it wonderful?
No!
What was that?
That was Hester.
I'd better go to her.
Stay where you are.
But she must be ill. She may need...
Hester needs nothing anymore.
What's happened?
Hester's dead, Letty.
Dead? But how...
This.
The poison. The bottle's empty.
Yes. It's emptied into the cocoa you gave her.
You? You put it there?
Yes.
But you murdered her. You'll be hanged.
No, I don't think I'll be hanged.
You, Harry... You, of all people.
Yes, I rather depend on that attitude.
Oh, Mr. Harry, it's a sight no human eye can endure. She's dead. Miss Hester's dead, and it was no illness carried her off. Oh, Mr.
Oh, don't be quiet, Nona.
You, Miss Little. You and that poison, so that's why you got it. You tried to tell me it was Mr. Harry who wanted it. Oh, you were going to blame it on Mr. Harry.
No,
but I saw it all. I heard it all. I won't let you get away with putting it on poor Mr. Harry. You fiend, you murdered Miss Hester. No.
You see, Letty, the way it is.
From Studio One, Radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you're hearing Mr. Michael Redgrave with Judith Evelyn, starring in Uncle Harry by Thomas Jobe, one of the world's great stories in a special version for listening by Lillian Shane. Studio One will return after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Michael Redgrave with Judith Evelyn in Fletcher Markle's production of Uncle Harry.
Yet, Miss Phipps. There's been a recess call.
How does it look?
Bad for Letty. If you can call it bad, seeing as how she's guilty of sin.
Now, Blake, you can't say that. All the evidence isn't in.
Evidence? How much evidence do you want? Well, she practically convicted herself out of her own mouth.
Yeah, she was flustered.
An innocent person doesn't get flustered.
That's not altogether true.
Even so, you heard what Ben told him this morning.
How'd it feel to be a witness, Mr. Ben?
Well, I don't know. It's a terrible responsibility. But I had to tell how she'd bought that poison and signed Uncle Harry's name.
That's what's got me so riled. How she's trying to put the blame on poor Uncle Harry.
Maybe that's where the blame belongs.
Oh, what?
That's not impossible, you know. There's something more in this than meets the eye.
Oh, rubbish.
Oh, I don't know. I always felt there was something queer about Uncle Harry. He's too good to be true. I don't have much faith in him.
I've known him for 14 years, and a man who's as good as he is for 14 years stays good to everlasting.
Well, I've seen a lot of men come in here, and very free, some of them. But you never can tell for true what a man is thinking.
Look what he sacrificed for those two women.
I am looking.
Perhaps he got tired of sacrificing.
Even if you don't believe in him, you've got to believe in the facts. First, those two hated each other. Always did. Second, that girl no one approved. They had a real set to, including slapping on the day of the murder.
That's true.
Third, Letty said Hester would be better out of the way. Fourth, she buys the poison. And fifth, the poison was in the cocoa she took upstairs.
Sounds all right. But I'm not quite easy.
That's a woman for you. Unreasonable.
Not logical.
Then why is she saying it was Uncle Harry?
Well, she's got to blame it on someone.
Well, that's a terrible thing to blame on your own flesh and blood.
There's some people flesh and blood don't count when their own skin's in danger.
It's more than that, Blake. Them three living together like that was never healthy. Family ties are a good thing, all right, so long as they're not tied too tight. When they are, they're likely to choke somebody.
Some philosopher, Albert, eh?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, whatever else, I don't want to miss Uncle Harry when the prosecution questions him this afternoon.
I wonder what he'll say.
He'll try to clear her, of course.
Maybe.
Of course he will. I know Uncle Harry.
Please, you must believe me. Letty's innocent. She's innocent.
Now, Mr. Quincy, we all understand how you feel, but you must try to control yourself and answer the questions I ask you.
I'm sorry.
Now, Mr. Quincy, you've heard the chemist, Mr. Blake, testify as to how your sister bought the poison. Heard your housekeeper testify that your two sisters had a violent quarrel the night of Hester's death.
Oh, but there was nothing unusual. Well, it didn't mean anything.
You mean they often quarreled so violently?
No, I didn't mean that. What did you mean? I mean, it was all my fault.
In what way was it your fault?
Well, you see, Letty always wanted to do everything for me, and Hester wouldn't allow it.
So that's why Miss Letty said that one of them would be enough to care for you.
Yes, but that was only because she was angry at the moment.
And she did say it.
Well, she...
Never mind, Mr. Quincy. You don't have to answer.
Thank you.
Now, when you learned at the Bluebell Tavern that Miss Letty had purchased a large dose of poison, why did you leave so hurriedly?
I was tired and I...
Wasn't it because you were fearful that Miss Letty was planning some mischief?
No.
Wasn't that the reason you tried so desperately to make peace between them when you were home? Wasn't that why you persuaded Miss Letty to take Hester a cup of cocoa as a peace offering?
No, I didn't have to persuade her. She wanted to take it. She was eager to.
No, she wanted to. She was eager to. You mean that after there had been a terrible fight between them, after Letty had that very day wanted Hester put out of the house, she was eager to take her the cocoa. The cocoa which killed Hester Quincy. The poisoned cocoa.
No. You've got me all mixed up. All I know is that Letty didn't kill Hester. She didn't. I tell you that if there's any justice in this world, I would be on trial. It's all my fault. It's all my fault.
Blake, the jury isn't back yet. How can you tell?
Listen to him. Abbott, I'll bet you a quart to a pint they'll be out less than an hour, and the verdict is guilty.
I wouldn't bet on a thing like that.
Of course not. Well, what did Uncle Harry have to say this afternoon?
He tried to help.
Made a mess of it, though.
That doesn't surprise me.
You've really got Uncle Harry all wrong, Miss Phipps.
You see, even Albert's convinced now.
Where's Miss Letty now?
They took her back to prison.
Uncle Harry's with her, of course.
As a matter of fact, he isn't. She won't see him. She's probably ashamed. Even though he'd forgive her for what she's been saying, of course.
Yeah, he's terribly cut up. We practically had to carry him home.
He wouldn't let us stay with him, though. Said he wanted to be alone.
Wanted to be alone, eh? Well, that may be, but I'd give a lot to know what's going on right now in the mind of Uncle Harry.
Lucy, I've been waiting for you.
You said you wanted to see me.
Come in. There's a fire burning in the front room. We can be nice and comfortable.
I really can't stay long.
Oh, nonsense. I put some tea on, too. Look, here, sit down.
Harry, I'm terribly sorry all this has happened.
It's been awful for you.
Oh, I can stand it.
It's a terrible thing to say, but now at least you can live your own life.
Yes, if she's found guilty.
Oh, you know she will be. She is guilty. You'll be free, Harry. And you're still young.
Yes, free. Lucy. Hmm? What are we going to do about that fellow you're engaged to?
George?
Oh, is that his name? Well, this is bound to be a blow to George.
Why on earth should it be?
Oh, I'm sure he's pretty fond of you.
Of course he is.
Well, we'll just have to make him understand.
Understand what?
That you're mine, of course.
What?
Oh, I know it's too soon to talk about it, but, well, I can't bear the thought of his seeing you any longer. We'll have to tell him at once.
Oh, Harry. Poor Uncle Harry.
Don't call me that.
I'm sorry.
I'm not Uncle Harry. Not any longer, and I have you to thank for it, Lucy. When you came and said you were engaged, oh, I realized I was going to lose you, and I couldn't let that happen, and so I... Well, then this thing happened, and well, now we can be happy together, just the way we've always planned. You see, things do turn out all right.
Harry, stop it.
What?
Well, you're not yourself. You don't realize what you're saying.
Well, of course I realize what I'm saying.
Well, then you're terribly mistaken, Harry.
About what?
About us. I can't marry you, Harry.
You must.
I'm engaged to George.
No.
It's quite final, Harry. It was final weeks ago.
Final?
It would be the same, George or no George.
Why? Tell me, why?
Don't you know that in these cases, it isn't the criminal who suffers most, but his family?
Oh, you mean the grief?
I mean the disgrace.
Well, it isn't my fault if...
No one cares whose fault it is. How could I marry you? How could any woman marry you? How could you dare to ask her?
Lucy.
A woman wants a respectable home, a decent place in society. Could you give her that now? A woman doesn't want children stared at. She doesn't want to bring children into the family of a murderer.
Lucy, this isn't you talking.
It's me, all
no,
right.
No, 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 you've never looked at life like that before. You were always able to see things as they ought to be, not as they are. Oh, Lucy, there was some magic substance in your eyes that dissolved all the ugliness in the world so that you never saw it. You saw only beauty, and oh, that's why I loved you so much.
Harry, I'm afraid that substance you're talking about was in your eyes, not mine. I'm afraid you didn't see me as I am, only as you wanted me to be. Well, now you do see me as I am, as a very ordinary woman who wants to live a very ordinary life. That's what George will give me. Well, I'd better go now. Goodbye, Harry. Won't you say goodbye?
Can't I see you again?
No. I'm sorry.
Lucy, stay with me. Lucy, don't leave me alone. For nothing. It was all for nothing. Yes.
The verdict's just in.
Yes?
Miss Letty has been found guilty.
Guilty, yes.
And I've come to say goodbye to you, Mr. Harry.
You're leaving?
I have to. There's too many memories in this house, too many terrible memories.
Nona, you too want a respectable home and a decent place in society?
What are you talking about, Mr. Harry?
I was just talking.
That's what I mean. It's the house that does it. It isn't good to stay here now. You should give up too.
No, no, no. I'll stay here. I can't leave now.
Well, I'll be on my way.
Yes, you go along, Nona.
Be all right, won't you?
Yes. I'll be all right. Quite all right. Inspector Halloran, I've come
come to tell you, you've made a terrible mistake in the case of my sister.
Yes, so you said all along.
Yes, but I mean it this time.
Didn't you mean it before?
No, I was only pretending before, Inspector. I killed Hester.
You did?
Yes, and I can prove it.
How?
Well, you see, I was the one who told Letty to get the poison. She thought it was for the dog, and I told her to sign my name. Then I slipped it into the cocoa. It's quite simple.
Yes, that's what Letty claimed had happened. Don't you remember, Uncle Hattie, that her story was proved false at the trial? Ben, the boys from the Bluebell Tavern. No, yes. They all proved you knew nothing about the poison.
I planned it that way. I fooled them all. I meant for Letty to get the blame. But there's no reason for Letty to die now. Would you please arrange to have her released at once?
Uncle Hattie, why don't you go away until this whole business is over?
But aren't you going to arrest me?
No.
Why? I've confessed.
We don't arrest innocent people who confess to a crime in order to try to save a convicted murderer.
But I'm not innocent, and she didn't murder.
Uncle Harry, every time a killer is convicted, crackpots write or come to the police and try to confess.
You think I'm a crackpot?
I think you love your sister. I think you've been under a severe strain. And I think you ought to go home and get some rest.
Well, hello there, Uncle Harry.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
I've been expecting you. Inspector Halloran tells me you spoke to him last week and that ever since you've been going around trying to confess to Hester's murder.
Yes, sir.
I thought you'd probably be coming around to try to persuade us to print your story in the newspaper.
Yes, that's just what I have come for. I've written it all out now. When people see it printed in the paper, they'll be certain to believe it. You see, no one believes it now.
Uncle Harry, I've known you all your life. I don't want to be cruel, and I don't want to doubt your motives in acting as you are. But in every murder case, there are people who want to cash in on the publicity. And they all want us to print their confessions.
Do you believe I'm one of those people?
No, confound it, I don't. But you're certainly acting like one of them. Uncle Harry, for pity's sake, take Halloran's advice. Go away somewhere until it's all over.
In the outer office says he has an appointment to see you. Says he's the brother of that woman who's going to the gallows in the morning.
Oh, yes. I've been expecting him. Ask him to come in.
You can come in now.
Thank you.
Are you the governor of this prison?
I am.
Well, you know why I'm here, of course.
I do, and I sympathize, Mr. Quincy, but I really must tell you...
Well, I'm prepared to have you disbelieve me. I planned it too perfectly. It's taken me all this time to find a way to break down my own perfect plan. But I found it at last. I can now prove that I killed Hester and that Letty is innocent.
Mr. Quincy, all this is most unselfish of you and quite in keeping with what I've heard of your fine character.
It's not selfish about it, believe me. All I want to know is whether or not, if I convince you of Letty's innocence, you could postpone the...
Well, I could arrange a stay of execution.
Well, then, sir, please, will you read this?
Is this another confession, Mr. Quincy?
That's a very special sort of confession. Now, read it, please.
Right now?
Yes, please. Well, read at least the first page, and the rest will look after itself. You know, I always believe in getting things done in black and white.
Good Lord. Extraordinary.
You can't argue with black and white, can you?
Letty said, what was that? Myself, that was Hester.
Yes, now you're coming to the important part.
Letty said she must be ill. She may need myself. Hester needs nothing anymore. Letty, what do you mean? Myself, Hester is dead. I emptied the poison into the cocoa you gave her. Letty, you...
murdered her. And I did.
Here I gave her the little bottle. It was my hope that she would hold it until the servant found her with it, as she did. Thus I entangled my sister in a net of evidence from which escape was impossible. No hand could unspin the painstaking lines I had drawn about her. Only the reputation of a lifetime.
You realize, sir, the implication of those last remarks?
Oh, it's astonishing. Why are you confessing all this?
Oh, there's no longer any reason why I should live.
You're not doing this to save your sister.
There's no point in Letty dying anymore. How long will it take before you release her, sir? I suppose there will be a few formalities.
Mr. Quincy, I think you'd better get along.
Well, why don't you arrest me? I've confessed.
It doesn't hold water, my good man.
Of course it does. I killed my sister Hester and I involved Letty. That's clear enough.
We respect your attempt, Mr. Quincy. We honestly do. But there's nothing I can do with this.
Letty and I are the only ones in the world who know what we said to one another at that moment. Now, look, if Letty is able to duplicate that conversation as I've written it there, it will mean that it actually took place, wouldn't it?
Well, now...
Well, of course, that's what it would mean, man. What else could it mean?
You want me to test her, to see if she remembers all
this. She'll remember it. Neither of us will ever forget it. Oh,
the whole thing's impossible.
Well, need I remind you, sir, that the world is full of impossibilities. Surely you can lose nothing by trying, and it lies in your power to correct a terrible injustice.
Well, I'm not at all sure I'm doing your sister a kindness in confronting her with you. She's refused to see you since her conviction.
Well, why shouldn't she after what I've done to her? And Letty never forgives a wrong. But she's human. She doesn't want to die. She'll be willing to see me now.
Well, I hope this is the right thing.
Oh, it is, sir. It is.
Yes, sir.
Bring in the prisoner from the condemned cell.
Yes, sir.
Now, you understand it isn't settled yet.
Yes, but it will be. Oh, I wonder, sir, if you know what it feels like for a man to find himself after 34 years of being lost. No, of course you don't. How many men have been lost to themselves as I've been lost? And to how many men of those lost men has it been given to find themselves as I have now?
Mr. Quincy...
You think it strange that I consider myself found now that I face death? Well, that, sir, is because you don't really understand the mind of a murderer. You see, it's very important to a murderer that he be punished. Otherwise, he's deprived of the proper end that crowns his deed and gives meaning to his work of art.
Work of art?
Oh, yes, yes. Haven't you read the book called Murder as a Fine Art? It was written by Thomas De Quincey. It's quite a coincidence. My name is Quincey, too, isn't it? Well, De Quincey says that murder can be a fine art and that when the murderer takes and makes no attempt to be ingenious, well... An artist, you know, never invents. He merely arranges that which exists into a new pattern. So being an artist, I want to complete my masterpiece, and for that, I must be punished, you see?
Yes, what is it?
Miss Quincy is here.
Oh, send her in.
Tell me, sir, how does she look?
Then it'll be a shock to you.
Yes, this waiting must be the dreadful part of the real punishment.
It's told on her more than most.
Letty.
I warned you.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Yes. Come in. Sit down.
May I sit in that armchair? It looks so comfortable.
Of course.
And might I have an armchair in my room tonight? I believe I may have anything I ask for on this last night.
There isn't going to be any last night for you, Letty.
Please, sir, you shouldn't have made me look at this man. Send him away. He's wicked beyond belief.
We'll only be a moment, Miss Quincy. You claimed during your trial that your brother committed the murder of which you stand condemned.
Yes.
Do you still make that claim?
Yes, but what difference does it make?
Now he agrees with you.
What?
I've been telling them since the trial that I did it, Letty. You're cleared.
Oh.
Well, not quite cleared.
Letty, all you have to do is to repeat word for word the conversation you and I had after you gave Hester the cocoa.
You say you killed Hester.
Yes.
Sir, I'd like to speak to this man alone.
Now, Miss Quincy.
I must, please.
All this is most irregular. Very well, I'll give you 5 minutes.
That will be plenty. Well, Harry, what are you up to now?
I'm trying to save your life.
Why?
Well, why do you suppose?
It can't be your conscience.
Why not?
Because you haven't one. What is it, Harry? Is it lonesome at home these days?
Much as a bit. With Nona gone.
So? Everyone has deserted the sinking ship. I'm told Lucy married George last week.
Yes.
You did all this for her, didn't you, Harry?
Oh, what's the difference? I don't care about it now.
So that's it. Just as selfish as you ever were, eh, Harry?
Selfish?
Yes, selfish. I've had time to see through you these past weeks, Harry. I've recalled how you always gave away your toys when they were broken, and how noble and generous you acted about doing it. Now you've broken your life, and you want to give that away. But it won't work, Harry. Not this time.
But you don't want to die.
I died many times since that night. Tomorrow won't matter to me at all. Nothing more can happen to me. But you, Harry, you've a nasty little time ahead of you, haven't you? You've got to pay for your crime for years and years. You'll walk along the street and people will smile. But they'll cross to the other side. You'll go home and be greeted by an empty house and the memory of me. You'll sit in an empty room with only your own horror to keep you company. And your loneliness will gnaw at you until your mind rots. Oh, I wouldn't be in your place for anything in the world.
Letty, you can't do it. You always spoil everything for me. You can't spoil this. Tell them the truth, Letty. Tell them the truth.
No.
Everything all right in here?
Please come in.
She won't do it, sir. She won't tell the truth.
Please don't mind him. He's always been full of wild ideas. But this is the wildest yet.
No.
You won't forget that armchair, sir.
You shall have it. You're a brave woman to refuse your brother's sacrifice.
Don't let her leave, sir. Letty, please stay here. I won't let you go.
You wouldn't care to say goodbye, would you, Uncle Harry?
And they say murder will out. But not my murder. Not Harry Quincy's murder. Letty, you've got to let me finish what I've begun. You can't be so cruel. It's too cruel to make me go on living. It's too cruel. If you die tomorrow, I'll be left alone with what I've done. Quite alone.
You see, Harry, the way it is.
Yes. I see the way it is.
Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Mr. Michael Redgrave with Judith Evelyn, starring in Fletcher Markle's production of Uncle Harry by Thomas Job. Another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment. Tonight's script was prepared by Lillian Shane, and the original music was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground,
Uncle Harry.
Was played, of course, by Mr. Redgrave.
Letty Quincy.
Was played by Miss Evelyn.
Hester.
Was Brenda Forbes.
Lucy.
Was Gertrude Warner.
Miss Phipps.
Was Molly Ballantyne.
The prison governor.
Was Everett Sloan. Miriam Wolfe played Nona. The gentlemen of the ensemble in the Bluebell Tavern were Robert Dryden, Hedley Rennie, Gregory Morton, John Stanley, and Louis Quinn. Michael Redgrave may currently be seen on the screen in the J. Arthur Rank production, The Smugglers. Next week from Studio One, an original play for radio. It's called Sometime Every Summertime. And our visiting star is one of your great favorites of both Broadway and Hollywood, Mr. Burgess Meredith. We hope you'll be with us. Now until next week, until sometime every summertime with Burgess Meredith, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is Lee Vines, and this is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.